The sentence, "I love you," is uttered numerous, uncountable times every day by people around the world in different languages. And we can say it to say, "I love food," "I love a sports team," "I love a particular brand of car," "I love a child," "I love a spouse." And it's the same words, and yet it can mean something different. Like, for example, you have your children get into a fight, and then you say to one of them, "Tell your sister that you love her. I love you." Do they actually mean it? Or are they just saying it because you tell them to say it? Well, what about when it comes to God? Do you love God? Do we love God? Do we tell God that we love Him? And if we do love God and tell Him that we love Him, are we actually showing it, or are we just going through the motions? Are we remembering what God has done to us, or has our love grown cold and we need to be reminded? We need to meditate on who God is and what He has done for us and the love that He has showed to us and bestowed upon us. That's what we're going to do here tonight as we look at the first part of Psalm 116. As we do so, we will answer the question, why should we love the Lord? Why should we adore God? Let us read the whole psalm, but tonight we will only look at verses 1 through 11. Starting in verse 1 of Psalm 116. "I love the Lord, because He has heard my voice and my pleas for mercy. Because He inclined His ear to me, therefore I will call on Him as long as I live. The snares of death encompass me, the pangs of Sheol laid hold on me. I suffered distress and anguish. Then I called on the name of the Lord. O Lord, I pray, deliver my soul. Gracious is the Lord and righteous, our God is merciful. The Lord preserves the simple. When I was brought low, He saved me. Return, O my soul, to your rest, for the Lord has dealt bountifully with you. For you have delivered my soul from death, my eyes from tears, my feet from stumbling. I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. I believed when I spoke, I am greatly afflicted. I said in my alarm, all mankind are liars. What shall I render to the Lord for all His benefits to me? I will lift up the cup of salvation and call on the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows to the Lord in the presence of all His people. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of His saints. O Lord, I am your servant. I am your servant, the son of your maidservant. You have loosed my bonds. I will offer to you the sacrifice of thanksgiving and call on the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows to the Lord in the presence of all His people, in the courts of the house of the Lord, in your midst, O Jerusalem. Praise the Lord." The one point we're going to look at tonight encompasses verses 1 through 11, and it's this: we should love the Lord because He hears our prayers to be delivered from death. We should adore God because He listens to our pleas to be rescued from Sheol. Of course, this is in the midst of the Egyptian Hallel Psalms. We talked about Psalms 113 to 118. These six psalms are traditionally sung on the night of Passover, the first two before the meal, the last four after the meal. So here we are in 116, which would be the second psalm sung after the meal. And it begins with the psalmist saying, "I love the Lord." He expresses his adoration, his concern, his care, his heart for God. "I love Yahweh. I love the one true God." Of course, a person can only say this truly if he is born again, if he knows the Lord. Loving God is a fruit of salvation. That's why 1 Corinthians 3, verse 13 says, "So now faith, hope and love abide, these three, but the greatest of these is love. Love is a fruit of the Spirit. We can only love God if the Spirit of God is in us. Love for God is also a summary of the law. We love God and we love man. In Mark 12, someone asked Jesus to summarize the law. And Jesus answered, "The most important is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one." He quotes directly from Deuteronomy 6, verse 4 and following. And he says, "And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength." If we want to know what it means to do what God wants, it starts with loving Him, not loving idols. And that's the other thing. We cannot say we love God and show love for God if we have a divided heart and we're showing love for idols. In 1 Corinthians 10:21, you have people who are trying to go and take the Lord's Supper and then go to the temple and offer sacrifices and participate in the pagan rituals. And Paul says, you cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of demons. You cannot partake of the table of the Lord and the table of demons. So this is, the psalmist is loving the Lord. He's not loving idols. He's not going to the Canaanite religions. He's not going to Baal and the Ashtoreth and all these other things. No, he is set upon God. Why does he love the Lord according to this psalm? It says in verse 1b, "Because he has heard my voice and my pleas for mercy." Verse 2, "Because he inclined his ear to me." Why does he love God? It's because he called out to God in prayer and God heard him. The King of Kings inclined his ear from heaven to hear his pleas. He called out and he heard. It's like someone who's in a building that's on fire. "Help, help, help." And someone comes in and grabs them and pulls them out and rescues them to safety. They heard the pleas. And because of God's love to him, he will continue to call upon God forever. Verse 2b, "Therefore I will call on him as long as I live." This is a great motivation for prayer meetings, isn't it? We remember God's love upon us, that God has answered prayers for us in the past, that we've cried, that we've pled, we've cried out to God and he's heard our prayers. So that should stir in us to continue to pray, to continue to meet. Sometimes on Wednesday night we can feel dead and feel cold and say, "Why are we here? What are we doing? What are we accomplishing? Does it really matter?" It's cold. The sun's going down sooner. We walk out of these doors and it's completely pitch black dark. We are tired. We are weary from the week. Why make an effort? It's because God has heard us in the past. And God will continue to hear us forevermore. Colossians 4 verse 2 says, "Continue steadfastly in prayer." Meaning we do not lose hope. We do not stop coming to God. "Being watchful in it with thanksgiving." We continue to come before the throne of grace, remembering with thankful hearts what God has done for us, the promises of Scripture, the certainty of our salvation, the hope that He is in control of all things and hears us. What were the circumstances that caused the psalmist to cry out to God? Verses 3 and 4. Answer that question. He almost died. "The snares of death encompassed me. The pangs of Sheol laid hold on me. I suffered distress and anguish." This could be either physical harm. He was afraid that someone was going to come and hurt him and try to murder him or kill him. Or it could be illness. He felt terrible. He felt like he was on the brink of death. Maybe he had a fever, a sickness. He didn't know if he was going to pull through the night. And so there was fear. There was worry. There was anxiety. Charles Spurgeon, he comments about this verse, "As hunters surround a stag with dogs and men, so that no way of escape is left, so David enclosed in a ring of deadly griefs." Imagine, it feels like everything's coming around you and you're about ready to be swallowed up by death. And so it produces fear. And what do you do when you're afraid? What should you do? You should call out to God. That's what he does in verse 4. "Then I called on the name of the Lord. O Lord, I pray, deliver my soul." There's nowhere else to turn. Turn to God when you're anxious. Turn to God when you're fearful. Turn to God when you're overwhelmed by a tsunami of sorrow and despair and grief. This is what Paul tells us to do in Philippians 4, verse 6. "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God." Do not be anxious, sinfully anxious, overcome with worry and care, but instead pray to God and call out to Him and be thankful to Him. And the promise after that is, "And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus." What is the outcome? God will grant you peace. And God saved the psalmist and granted peace. And that's why in verse 5, he remembers God's character. "Gracious is the Lord and righteous. Our God is merciful. He has shown favor upon him that he does not deserve. He has shown mercy that he does not have earned. God is righteous in his actions. He does what is good and right and just as the judge of the universe. He does not act wickedly like Satan. He does not lie. He does not put out a bait and then pulled away and entrap you. But he is good. He tells the truth. Even to the simple. It says, "The Lord preserves the simple. When I was brought low, he saved me." Preserves here can mean protect. So he means he's protecting the naive or the young, the simple. Those who may not have a good understanding of the Christian faith. Those who are not have a lot of life experience. He's not just watching out for those who have reached a certain level of Christian maturity or have put all this time in serving God, but even those who are naive, who are young, who are simple, he hears their pleas and he cares for their souls. We have an example of this when Jesus was dying. You had two thieves on the cross. The one cursed and mocked Jesus. The other said to Jesus in Luke 23, verse 42, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." How long had the thief been a believer in Jesus? Just a few minutes. And what did Jesus say? "Truly I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise." The thief called out to Jesus. Jesus heard his plea and promised him, "You will be with me in paradise." And so, what does the psalmist do? The psalmist in verse 7 preaches to himself, "Return, O my soul, to your rest, for the Lord has dealt bountifully with you." This is the psalmist saying, remember what God has done for you. Remember His love for you. Remember He hears your pleas. Do not forget. Return to God for your rest. Do not turn elsewhere. This is an example of preaching God's truth to yourself instead of listening to yourself on autopilot. God has delivered his soul from death. He cast his soul upon God. God saved him from going down to Sheol. So he is asking God, he's remembering this and pleading with himself to remember in the future to cast his soul upon God again and rest in him. To remember God's goodness and kindness to him. The rest that God has given us is the same rest Jesus promises. Jesus is God. Jesus is Yahweh. In Matthew 11, Verses 28 and 29. What rest does he say? Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. What rest does Christ provide for us? Christ says, I have done it all. Christ says, I have paid your debt for you on the cross. I have given you the righteousness that you do not deserve. I have saved you from your sins. I've rescued you. I've redeemed you. I've adopted you into the family of God. I've given you all the inheritance of heaven. I have done this all for you, not based upon any of your works. You simply trust and rest in me. This is good news. But he almost lost hope. He remembers again in verse 8, for you have delivered my soul from death, my eyes from tears, my feet from stumbling. He almost lost hope as he was facing death. But now he walks in the land of the living before the Lord. God sustains him. But in that time of fear, he said things and believed things that he's regretful about. In verse 10, he said to himself, I am greatly afflicted. He was overwhelmed, overcome with fear. Verse 11, he said in his alarm, all mankind are liars. I think what this means is that he's in alarm because others have told him to go to God, to rest upon God, and he is thinking they lie about God's character and his deliverance. He is having unbelief. But finally, he calls out to God, and God hears his prayers. Thankfully, we have a mediator who knows what it's like to face death and stare it in the face and face the agony of about to die. It says in Hebrews 5, verse 7, about Jesus, in the days of his flesh, Jesus offered up prayers and supplications with loud cries and tears to him who was able to save him from death, and he was heard because of his reverence. This is reminding us of the night that he was betrayed in the Garden of Gethsemane, where he says, not my will be done, but your will be done. But if possible, let this cup past the cup of wrath about ready to be poured out upon him. When he was on the cross, he cried out to God. And the Father heard him because of his fear, his perfect fear for God, his reverence for God. He faced death and he cried out, and God heard. So, brethren, as we think about the psalmist, let's think about our lives. I love you, Lord. Or as Jesus asked Peter, do you love me? Do you love the Lord? Do you have affection for the Lord? Do you have gratitude for what the Lord has done? Many times throughout the week, we can Our love can ebb and flow. Our spirits can be on the mountaintop, and then the next day we feel like we're in the valley. And we feel like we're in a rut. We're in a stupor. Like, oh God, revive me. What? Please help me. And what do we need to do? We need to remember what God has done for us. The love that He has shown to us. We love Him because He first loved us. We need to start by remembering the prayers that God has answered in the past for our deliverance. And this is why those of you who have walked with the Lord much longer, you have a greater track record to pull from. Some people even journal and record all the prayers that God has answered, the prayer requests, and go and turn back to them to be reminded of them. But if you're feeling this way in a stupor, if you feel spiritually low, then just start thinking and meditating upon all the prayers that you have prayed, all the times that God has heard you, all the fears and the worries and anxieties and the things that you thought, this situation is too hard, it's too terrible, I feel overcome, how can I handle this? Or maybe where you were actually going to die. Maybe you thought you were going to die, or you had a health scare, or an issue, and you're like, what's going to happen? What's going to take place? How are we going to get through this? Remember God's answered prayer for you. And thank Him again. Praise Him again. And then remind yourself, say to yourself, oh soul, remember to rest in Him instead of being overwhelmed with fear and anxiety. What are you fearful tonight? What are you anxious about tonight? What are you sorrowful tonight? What are you tempted to be overcome with tonight? I need to take control of this situation. I'm overwhelmed. Well, that's what we need to pray about tonight as we go to the Lord. That's what we need to cast our cares upon Him. He hears us. And being sovereign and good and wise, He does what is best for us. He will answer our prayers according to His will. And it's not just He will save us from death and we will never die, but most importantly, He has saved us from eternal and physical death forever. Christ has tasted death for us as the first fruits, so that we who by faith in Christ have died with Christ in baptism, and we are raised with Christ and reign with Christ now. And we will not die and stay there forever, but we will be raised. Romans 6 verse 9 says, we know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over Him. And we who are in Christ are saved from eternal death, from everlasting damnation, from the wrath of God, from weeping and gnashing of teeth, and we're also saved from death and our bodies being in the grave, and the consequences of physical death. We are going to be raised one day. We're going to have new bodies. We're going to dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And we will go from crying out to God to beholding God and seeing Him face to face. God loves each and every one of His children. Jesus Christ is the good shepherd who laid down His life for us, the sheep. How much more could we not return love to Him who loved us while we were still enemies, while we were still under God's wrath? Whatever your concerns and fears are tonight, let us take them to the Lord who hears us in our prayers.